and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the known time zones around the globe. I'm Art Bell, reaching just about that far. This is Coast to Coast AM weekend version. How y'all doing? It has been an interesting week for me. Not necessarily a great week, but an interesting week. I had a little bit of back trouble this week, not due to the show, not due to being on the air, mind you, but due to my own foolishness. I had an electronic project I was working on, and that necessitated me kneeling down and soldering. And when one kneels down and solders for hours on, you know, end at a time, one's back says hello to one very shortly thereafter. So the next day, couldn't walk straight. That's been kind of my week this week. Been a rough one. But we've got a lot. Boy, do we have a lot to do tonight. Listen, I want to send you immediately up to the website. And I want you first to take a look at my webcam. Now, on my webcam is a picture sent to me from somebody in Seattle, Washington. And who I'm sure does not wish to be identified. At any rate, didn't suggest that I should identify them. However, it is purported to be and appears to be a clear photograph of a shadow person. You all know what a shadow person is, right? If you don't, a shadow person is that creature or whatever that you see from the corner of your eye occasionally, moving in the corner of your eye. But rarely can you distinctly make it out, although there have been reports recently of people beginning to see these shadow whatever they are, in plain sight. Now, I've never experienced that, but I have experienced that wispy movement of something in the corner of my eye, and here is somebody who purports to have captured its vision in photography, and it's obviously a living room, and it's obviously a creature of some kind. That's on my webcam on the website, coasttocoastam.com. So you definitely want to take, I'd like you anyway, to take a look at that, and you tell me what it is. We are in October, aren't we? Next hour, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth will be here with something that I want to talk more about, EVPs. And we'll talk a lot more about that. But in the meantime, I want to get you through a few things here. So take a look at that. My webcam photo, it's in the upper left-hand corner when you get on the website, way up there, it says Art's webcam. Take a look at that, a shadow person caught in action. And then, in a few moments, there's a ghost photograph we're going to talk about. Oh, and there's times 10. Times 10. Oh, my God, times 10. This you may have seen before. It's been around for a while, but it reminds me of the movie Contact. It will take you from thousands of light years away from the Earth in progressive changes. Hopefully your whatever kind of browser you're using will handle this, but it will show you in progressive stages coming right down to the Earth, eventually getting to the Earth from hundreds of millions of light years out, and then focusing in on an area near Florida, and then finally down to something the size of a leaf, coming in by satellite, down to the size of a leaf, and then inside the leaf until you get down to the atom of the leaf. So you're going from a distance beyond which anybody could ever hope to find us. In fact, when you watch this, as you watch it coming in on Earth, eventually Earth or even our system, you will understand how incredibly difficult it would be for anybody to find us, anybody ever to locate us. It's an incredible experience. It's called Times 10. You've got to click on it. It's there on the front of the website, and take the tour and just sort of let your mind go with the tour. And if you don't come away from that with a sort of a, I don't know, an experience of how insignificant we really are, then you weren't watching. So you're going to want to have that experience. Indeed, how will they ever find us? And then a ghost photograph, a really good ghost photograph sent to me yesterday, and I called the gentleman in question. He'll explain to us what we're looking at. This ghost photograph is, it's called the Backyard Ghost, and it was sent to us Let me see. With the from the Alabama Foundation for Paranormal Research, and I've got the gentleman who sent it, Blake Wiley, on the phone, and we'll get to him in a few moments. Just one more light little item, and that is, as you know, WABC, that wonderful radio station in New York City, added the program last week, and when they did, it was my understanding, though I didn't find out about it until the very last moment, that that it had occurred, and that Curtis Sliwa, my old nemesis at WABC, was rather upset about the prospect of my return. In fact, that week, WABC had been running, and you've asked me to play it, and I got it from the board op at WABC, thank you very much, asked me to play what WABC had been playing all week long, and here it is.
This is Curtis Sliwa. I thought I had gotten rid of that loony kazoony from Parts Unknown, but my personal nightmare is back in Soul Maniacs. Art Bell returns tonight at 1 o'clock on WABC. Say it ain't so, Promise Keeper Program Director Phil Bush. Say it ain't so.
That was actually, I think, I'm not sure if that was my laugh or if that was a program director, Promise Keeper himself type program director, Phil. Anyway, that must have killed him all week long. All right, let's look briefly at the world. It's rarely worth doing, but we should. Oh, by the way, Yankees lost, but you know that, right? In Marlins won, 3-2, I heard. Huh? In a new audio tape aired Saturday, a voice purported to be Osama bin Laden vowed suicide attacks inside and outside the United States and threatened nations that are helping the American occupation of Iraq. The speaker in the tape, broadcast throughout the Arab world by good old Al Jazeera television, also warned Iraqis against cooperating with U.S. forces and urged youth in neighboring nations to join a jihad or holy war against the Americans. And from Bangkok, in a tense visit, President Bush sped through Manila streets crowded with flag-waving supporters and angry protesters on Saturday, and pledged to help the beleaguered Philippines battle rising terrorism there. He then brought the promise of closer military ties to Thailand. He said, quote, "We will not be intimidated by the terrorists." And that brings up a subject that's probably going to get me in trouble. But by the time you get to be my age and at the stage in my career, you tend to say, the hell with it, and let's rock and roll anyway. So here it is. This is an example of one of hundreds of emails that I've received, and something you probably are not aware of. Hello. My husband and I have been avid listeners to your show since it first came on in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, a few years ago. The CFRA 580 AM link is still on your affiliates list. The show has been on a while, and we were informed today on the CFRA website by Program Director Dave Mitchell that it is gone forever, because of some statements that were of concern to Canada Broadcast Standards. I guess somebody didn't like the fact that the Muslims or other identifiable groups, that's in quotes, were mentioned on various shows. What babies? Try being Celtic and blonde. This is outrageous. Our freedoms in Canada are slowly being taken from us, and we, the public, can do nothing about it. If people don't like the program, they can turn it off. But we are now forbidden from even turning it on. We are extremely disappointed with the whole situation. We've always been very entertained and informed by the show. Thanks to you both, meaning I guess myself and George, for all the wonderful shows over the years. All the best. Lynn and Dave Thompson, Ottawa, Canada. Sure enough, we've been removed in Ottawa, Canada. Why? Well, on 9/11, thousands of Americans died. You remember that, right? when terrorists plowed airplanes into the World Trade Center buildings in New York City, into the Pentagon, almost damn near into the White House. Thousands of Americans died when they did that. So, yes, we did shows on the subject, and no doubt will again, too. Yes, we discussed Muslims, to be sure. It was the subject. But we were very careful, very, very careful to delineate between the fanatic terrorists that killed thousands of Americans and the religion itself. Very careful. I don't know how many times during that program I said, now look, I want to be sure that everybody understands that we're not talking about all Muslims. Obviously, we're talking about those that blew up these buildings, right? Well, obviously it was not enough for CFRA in Ottawa, who apparently received some complaints from, we really don't know who, some group. So they dropped our show. Not because of bad ratings, to be sure. Our ratings were great there. Great. But instead because some local group bitched. What kind of insane, upside-down world are we living in anyway? CFRA in Ottawa is a talk station, right? I wonder what they talk about. If Coast to Coast, this program, is too controversial for CFRA, then what the hell do they talk about? I'm serious, what do they talk about? Of any substance? Is it just pablum, or do they really take on issues? You know, I mean, what would they have us do? Never mention the subject so as never to upset some unidentifiable or even some identifiable group? Read the explanation. You can go to their website, go to Google, and put in CFRA. And they've got an explanation there to Coast listeners why it's not on the air anymore. You read it for yourself. Some identifiable group that we talked about. Some identifiable group. Perhaps the CFRA would have us give terrorists equal time. I can't figure this out. Now, I rarely ask my audience to do anything, but in this particular case, I am going to ask you, all of you, to contact CFRA. I told you, you can go to Google and just put in CFRA and you'll get there, and let them know how you feel. Not that I think, even if every one of you complain and bitch, that they'll put Coast to Coast back on the air, because I doubt that. I don't expect that at all, but instead, because this kind of insanity has got to end. You know, we'll continue. We have over 500 affiliates. Hell, we've, you know, one affiliate here or there. We'll survive, believe me. But, you know, this kind of thing has got to end. This insanity has got to end. Or the free world isn't going to be so free for us or our children. Right now, we're fighting. Agree or disagree about it. Baby, we're fighting. Our men, our women are fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're dying all over the world. But what good does it do if we lose what we're trying to protect? Our freedoms here at home. Specifically, the freedom of speech, not by chance, the first inscribed amendment to our Constitution here in America, and I'm very sure highly cherished in Canada as well, so we lost a station, but the real loss looms straight ahead of all of us. As you gaze into the abyss, it gazes back at you. Believe me, something much more important lost than any radio station anywhere. That's what we're looking at when you cannot discuss something in general and a situation that killed thousands of your countrymen. Without somebody somewhere having some kind of objection that gets you taken off the air. It's the damnedest world we live in, isn't it? So as I said, you can go to Google if you feel as I do about that. You know, I wasn't even going to, number one, I wasn't going to mention this. Then number two, I put it at the end of the pile. You know, like, well, If I get to it, I get to it. And then the more I thought about it, the more angry I got about the whole thing. And then it finally made it up to the front of the pile. So there you have it. You can find, what is it, CFRA? Am I right about that? Yeah, CFRA, listed in Google. And, you know, let them have a hunk of your mind. I just, take us off. If we do something wrong, take us off. If we have bad ratings, take us off. If we're not entertaining, but my God, to take us off for that reason, yikes. So what was it our president said earlier today in the Philippines? Quote, we will not be intimidated by terrorists, end quote. All right, so I've got a ghost photograph on the website that I really want you to see. I handle, hundreds, even thousands of ghost photographs over the years. I've seen many, not too many good ones, a few good ones. This definitely qualifies in that category. This, this ghost photograph is quite something. It's right on the front page. You can't miss it. Click it to make it bigger and follow along with the man who sent it to us. Here he is. His name is Blake. Blake, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hi there. I really appreciate your sending the photograph to me. That's number one.
Well, it's truly an honor to talk to you also.
Thank you. Now, tell me about this photograph.
Well, this photograph was given to me by a couple of friends of mine. They have a relative, an elderly lady. She's in her 80s. She gets around, essentially.
So in other words, it came from a family member?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good.
Yes. It's a physical photograph. It's not a digital image or anything. She's in her 80s. She gets around using a walker. She lives alone. Had always told the family, hey, I've got these ghosts walking around in my backyard.
Really?
Now, she said that this was, to give you a little background, she had a son that passed away about 2 years ago from cancer. And she has said that this is her son and an angel. This is what she's saying. She can at some time see two of them walking around in her backyard.
You know, that's interesting because looking at it, I would have guessed the female gender.
Mm-hmm.
I just would have guessed. I don't know, maybe the clothing, what you can see of it. I'm not really sure what it is.
Right, right.
The apparition, by the way, for those of you who cannot see the page, is incredible. It's caught in a window, and it's about three quarters here, and about one quarter somewhere else.
Right.
I guess that's the right way to put it. At any rate, continue, please, Blake.
Yes, well, she says that they walk out of the woods, walk around in their backyard for a few minutes. They can stand there, as this one apparently is doing, and then eventually just walk back into the woods and disappear. Behind her house, there are a couple of houses across a field behind her house, and there's just basically woods back there.
She had seen so many, I understand, that she threatened to try to do exactly what's been done here, to take photographs. Correct?
Right, exactly.
So was she the one who took this?
Yes, she is. No, she had her camera sitting there for the next time it happened.
Huh.
She actually took the photograph. I haven't actually been in the house. I've been in the backyard, but I haven't been in the house. It's a newer house, actually.
Really?
Somebody had said, well, this could be, the glass, causing a ripple effect. And it's, like I said, brand new house, new glass.
Anything's possible.
That's true. Yes, yes, exactly.
But
the family
you,
and the family.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. The family had gone into the house. They went through, looked at everything that could even cause a reflection of anything in the window and found nothing.
Mm-hmm.
From the angle that the actual apparition is, it would have to be something hanging from the ceiling, possibly, to actually show up in the picture like that. And again, they went over the house and found nothing.
I say it's a human being. It looks like a being, a human being.
Right.
So I don't know about that.
Essentially, it could be, you know, it looks like a full body apparition.
That's right. That's right. But as I mentioned a moment ago, it's not exactly fully there, is it? It's like two-thirds there.
Right,
so,
right. You can actually see through it. It's just walking around in the backyard like, you know.
Makes you wonder a little bit, Blake, doesn't it, about what happens after you leave this material world. Blake, hold on, all right?
All right, thank you.
We're at the bottom of the hour. Blake is with the affiliated with the Alabama Foundation for Paranormal Research, and this really is a good photograph, right up there in the top 10 of any ghost photograph I've ever received. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-7-
Once again, keep in mind, please, the picture taken that we're discussing on the website was taken by an elderly lady in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. She had always told her relatives there were ghosts in her backyard. They simply come out of the woods, walk around, and eventually disappear. Seeing that no one really believed her, she decided to take photographs the next time they came around. This is an 80-year-old lady, right? 80-year-old lady. It was this picture, I understand, was scanned in from a physical picture, not a digital. There have been no attempts to change or enhance the image other than the close-up of the actual apparition. Yes, you can click on and get a close-up, and it'll just knock you right in the eye. So is there anything else, Blake, that we should know about this photograph?
It's kind of interesting that this picture was actually taken in the evening. It's still daylight outside, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't see them at night. She only sees them during the day, usually, which I just personally, I kind of found that interesting in itself.
Well, the whole thing is interesting. And what does your Alabama Foundation for Paranormal Research, what do you do with something like this other than send it to Art Bell?
Right. Probably what we're actually going to probably investigate this probably within the next couple of weeks. I think the next step and probably is going to be setting out motion-activated cameras.
Oh, so you're going to investigate the site.
Yes, exactly.
Ah, well, in that case, Blake, after you do so, I hope you will immediately contact me, and I will put you on the air, assuming I'm still on the air, and I will allow you to tell us what happened.
Ah, yes, exactly.
All right, you're on, buddy. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
All right.
All right, a few more things that I want to get covered. That was Blake. That's one heck of a photograph, folks. I want to talk for a second again about the power of 10. It, you know, there are a few things in this life that just lay you back and you go, huh, like that. The power of 10 is one of those. And to be specific this time, the link when you open it, it's on the website, Power of 10, opens with a picture of Earth from 10 million light years away. Now, of course, at 10 million light years, you can't even begin to see our sun, much less the Earth, but it nevertheless begins there, and like the movie Contact, this time zooms in toward the Earth until it finally gets there, and then zooms in by a factor of 10 each time, coming through the satellite photographs and all the rest of it, until you get down to the quark in an atom. I said an atom earlier, actually, into the theoretical. I don't think we've actually photographed a quark yet. But the mental trip that you'll go through with this power of 10 is just incredible. So it's something you're going to want to do if you've never, even if you have done it before, go do it again and just sort of let your mind grasp the implications of what you're seeing. Keeping in mind that a light year, a single light year, is the time it would take to travel at the speed of light in 1 year. Speed of light in 1 year. So we begin 10 million light years from Earth. This is very interesting. Michael Perich, that's P-E-R-I-C-H, an LSU professor who helped fight the spread of West Nile virus, died Saturday morning in a one-vehicle car accident. He was 46 years of age. Walker Police Chief Elton Burns said Sunday that Perich of, and it gives his address here in Baton Rouge, I'm not going to give the address, crashed his Ford pickup truck at 4:30 a.m. Saturday while heading west on Interstate 12 in Livingston Parish down there in Louisiana. His truck veered right off the highway about 3 miles east of Walker, flipped and landed in rainwater. Perich, who was wearing his seatbelt, drowned, cause of the crash under investigation. Perich, who worked for the U.S. Army for more than 15 years, joined the LSU faculty in August of 2001 as an assistant professor of medical entomology. In addition to West Nile, Perich also studied malaria and several other diseases. According to the head of LSU's department, he was one of our stars. He was well known. While I was here, I certainly got to know the depth and breadth of his character and talent. In other words, he was a real star in those types of studies. And I, you know, I'm not saying that his death is anything but what it appears to be an accident. However, anybody out there counting, how many researchers into the biological field does this make who have met with untimely deaths? Individually, none of these apparent terrible tragedies and accidents appear to be suspicious. But, you know, collectively, it's beginning to get to be very suspicious, in my opinion. Oh, here's one you're going to like. North Korea to display nuclear force. Seoul, North Korea said on Thursday of this last week it would physically display its nuclear deterrent force. This is a report from South Korea's Yonhap News Agency. The remarks by unnamed spokesperson of the North Korea Foreign Ministry could be an indication that the communist regime intends to test a nuclear bomb. Oh, wonderful. Maybe Ed Dames was right. When the time comes, the DPRK will take steps to physically display its nuclear deterrent force. That's a North Korean spokesperson. Now, what do you suppose they mean by that? DPRK stands for North Korea's official name, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. For weeks, North Korea said that it was building up its nuclear deterrent force. Nuclear deterrent force, in quotes, a term that the North uses to refer to its nuclear weapons program. U.S. intelligence officials believe that North Korea already has one or two nuclear bombs and may be building more right now. On Thursday, KCNA quoted the North Korean spokesperson as saying his country has no other option but to continue to take steps to keep and increase its nuclear deterrent force as a self-defense measure because of what it calls U.S. plans to invade. The nuclear dispute flared last October when U.S. officials said North Korea admitted running a secret nuclear weapons program in violation of international agreements. So, you know, this adds up to, if you believe it, and the North Koreans talk a lot of trash, to to be sure, but they're also working on nuclear bombs, to be sure. So they may be about, you know, to test one, and maybe in our atmosphere. From unknowncountry.com, a man exploring a crop circle in Iowa discovered that a dog refused to go inside it. Unusual levels of electrical activity have often been reported inside crop circles, and dogs may be more sensitive to it than humans. It's recently been discovered dogs are sensitive to impending earthquakes, for example. 12 years ago, Jim Hodges received a strange phone call, he says. It was a sheriff calling me to tell me there'd been a report of a crop circle near Bluegrass. I drove out there, went up to the silo with the farmer, and boy, there it was, a beautiful circle in a mature cornfield. A woman driving home from a nearby tavern reported seeing red lights coming from the cornfield. I'd sure like to know how many think that lady may have had a few. He says, from the beginning I thought it was strange that the dog from that farm wouldn't go anywhere near the crop circle with me. Wouldn't go near it. I looked on my hands and knees for any sign of humans, found none. To this day, he says, I cannot tell you what created that crop circle. I was the first person to my knowledge to be in that thing. I spent the day photographing every inch of it. He flew over it in a helicopter, took pictures, got back several hours later, found a group of people waiting for him on the edge of the field. I don't know how they heard about it, he said, but they waved a wand over me and asked if I felt any odd electricity. He says, I didn't, but apparently the dog did. Barb Ike writes that for Hodges, the most puzzling thing about the crop circle was that it was somehow created in a mature cornfield. He can't imagine who or what could do such a thing. From mature corn stalks, he said, you've got to understand about corn stalks. You can't break those down by swinging a brick, he said. You can pull yourself off the ground by one of those corn stalks. People naturally claimed it was fake, but I sure never could figure out how. Nobody could. Nobody ever has. Nobody's ever been caught making a crop circle. It remains one of the most elusive, strange, inexplicable things that happens on our Earth. Melting ice glaciers. Here we go again. In the Patagonian ice fields of southern Argentina and Chile, has doubled in recent years, caused by higher temperatures, lower snowfall, and more breaking up of icebergs. Using satellites from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration and the Defense Department, researchers measured the loss from two ice fields on the southern tip of South America, found that the rate of melting doubled, from 1995 to the year 2000. That's 5 years, folks, when compared with any earlier measurements. This whole thing was reported in the journal Science on Friday, yesterday. The two ice fields cover a total of 6,600 square miles, contain 63 glaciers. Some dump their water into the ocean, others flow into high lakes. Researchers estimated that the glaciers are losing the equivalent of 10 cubic miles of ice every year now. This is enough to annually raise the world's sea level by all of 4/1,000ths of an inch. Doesn't seem like much, does it? But it means that the mountain glaciers in Patagonia are contributing an unusually large amount of water to the sea when compared, for example, with much larger ice fields. Alaska, for example, has 5 times more ice than Patagonia, yet the melt off from Patagonia is about a third as much as the melt-off from Alaska's mountain glaciers, and they are going very, very quickly. My wife and I were in Alaska, and believe me, these things are retreating at an alarming rate, absolutely an alarming rate. The world's weather, beyond any question, any doubt in my mind, is changing. And I wish that people would stop arguing about whether it's the hand of man or whether it's some great cyclical change that's occurring. Doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, it is changing, and places where we grow things that are very productive now are going to change. They're not necessarily going to go away, but they're going to change. They're going to move north or perhaps under some other condition to the south, but they are going to change. This much change in our weather is going to produce a change in the yield of our crops, and we're going to have to wake up to that before it is too late. This from the Los Angeles Times. When the volcano blew here, referring now to Yellowstone National Park, it obliterated a mountain range, felled herds of prehistoric camels hundreds of miles away, and left a smoking hole in the ground the size of the Los Angeles Basin. Modern Yellowstone doesn't dwell on its cataclysmic past or its potential for another monster eruption. Rangers tell people to keep their distance from bison and streaming geysers, but there are no signs, aside from nature's own bubbling mud pots and geysers, that visitors are wandering through the caldera of one of the world's largest volcanoes, period. One of the world's largest volcanoes. You're walking on it, baby. This is a geologic park, and not many people know it, said Robert Smith, a geophysicist at the University of Utah, who spent his entire career piecing together the story of the Yellowstone volcano. It's not a bison park, not an elk park. It's a geologic park, he says. New sensors have allowed researchers to confirm a suspicion that Smith has had for a long time now, that the ancient volcano scientists dub the Beast, that's in quotes, the Beast, is a living force. The instruments record a continuing pattern of heaving and bulging and act as an early warning system. Installed without any fanfare and hidden from view, the sensitive devices are an acknowledgement that the past could be prologue, that this seemingly serene plateau could blow so hard that it would make the 1980 Mount St. Helens explosion look like a sneeze. That's from the Los Angeles Times. For you geeks out there, my wife handed me this. She knows I'm in love with this kind of story. Forget Wi-Fi. From Geneva, Switzerland, researchers have more than doubled the world's speed record for internet data transfer. Now, check this out. Scientists at the CERN Particle Physics Laboratory in Switzerland sent the equivalent of a full-length DVD movie in about, how long do you think? A full DVD movie in 7 seconds. Colleagues at the California Institute of Technology received the data. The land record was set October 1st by transferring 1.1 terabytes of data over a 7,000-kilometer link in less than 30 minutes, the team said. The average transfer rate was 5.44 gigabytes per second, which broke the previous record of 2.38 gigabytes, more than 20,000 times faster, than a typical home broadband connection. So, 20,000 times faster than the typical home broadband connection. Could that be what lies ahead for all of us? Well, maybe not that, but some even fairly healthy portion of that. Can you imagine that? How is that going to change our world, the ability to move data at that speed? Perhaps download a movie. They did it, what, in 7 seconds or something. But if we even had a portion of that and it took, say, 1 minute to download an entire feature film, this will change the world. It'll change everything about the world. Data speeds, even a fraction of what they've just done here, will totally change the world we live in. Every aspect of it, just about. The entertainment business, the broadcast industry, just so many things in our world, our ability to speak with each other, to see each other, to interact with each other eventually in a three-dimensional way. That's right. In a real-time, three-dimensional way. These are the miracles that lie ahead of us with faster and faster data transfer, faster processor speeds, more computer storage. It's headed eventually, of course, not to the clunky mechanical device we have today known as a hard drive, but it's headed to a very much a more incredible kind of storage. Who knows what? Maybe some kind of bubble memory or something that virtually produces instant access. Processor speeds are going so quickly now. And, you know, storage speed-wise is going to catch up to it. Now, you just have to wonder how long it's going to be before, I don't know, before we have a machine that thinks, a machine that identifies itself, a machine that knows that it's alive. Yeah, that's right. Virtually a living thing. From the high desert, this is Coast.
The After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505. Take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
If you'll just keep your hat parked comfortably for a moment, we're going to talk about ghosts tonight in one of the strangest, scariest, most bizarre ways you can. EVP, Brendan Cook, and Barbara McBeth are here. In a moment, ghosts. Our time on Earth, indeed, is very short. We are, no matter how old or young you are but a tiny slice of the overall plan in the cosmos, right? You're here for a very, very short time, we all are. And the big question, of course, is what happens after we end this physical life, or it is ended, however it happens. It's a big question. And October, of course, is a great time to explore that question, because one of the main things you look for is any evidence of life beyond the physical. The main area you look into for that would be, the area that Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth look into. Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth are both members of the Ghost Investigator Society, GIS. The Ghost Investigator Society, and this is important, is a non-profit organization. That's right, they don't make money, dedicated to the investigation of ghosts. Not only do they conduct investigations, but they also instruct, assist, and educate anyone who believes that they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena, or those who are just simply curious. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes that the EVPs, or electronic voice phenomena, that you're about to hear, will help demonstrate that the consciousness, our consciousness, does survive after the body dies, and that these voices may help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. First of all, welcome back to the program, you two.
Thank you, Art.
Good morning, Art.
Yes, good morning. I can hear you both clearly. That's a good thing. All right. Great to have you back. How long has it been since we did a program together?
Oh, God.
Seems a little too long.
I think it was November of last year.
Yeah, a long time. They did do earlier in the week, I think George did a program with, believe it or not, another couple. Y'all that do EVP must come in couples or something. Anyway, it does not matter. I think this subject is so important and so worthy of our attention, or the attention of those who are trying to figure out what the real truth is, that it's worth doing even more frequently than that. That's how I feel about it. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
what launched you guys into this anyway? For me, it's what the heck happens to us after we die, if anything. Does something really happen? Do we survive physical death? That's what took me into it. What about y'all?
Well, it's a subject that I've been interested in all my life, but we have gotten so many responses from people that have just gone out and tried this on their own.
Which you can do, folks, by the way.
And the response has been incredible. People contacting us and emailing us.
Yeah, of course. If anybody can do it, if they can prove it to themselves.
Yes, which... and that's usually how there's a lot of people that have interest in it, but they don't want to investigate it or research it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your curiosity level, I guess, depends on whether you're willing to go out there and try to find out on your own.
I think people should go out, and I must tell you, I've had, thousands of emails on this topic, because we have suggested, of course, in previous programs, that people do exactly that, that they go out and try it for themselves. And I really am all for that, because if you can demonstrate it to yourself, then you got to sit down and scratch your head and say, hey, maybe that's really not a bunch of circus bull. Maybe there is really something to it. And if there is, what does it mean? Well, hey, if it's real, then it means we do survive death. But oh my, in what manner?
Yes, it opens the door to many, many questions.
You're not a profit organization, right?
That's correct.
All right. Now, this can be done with either a standard cassette tape recorder, or I think more recently, you have moved into the digital realm, right?
Some of us have.
Barbara is still fighting the whole digital thing.
Oh,
she likes her tape recorder.
Oh, so. We have a GIS schism. So, Barbara, you're still using a tape recorder?
Oh, yes. I like to have the tapes.
I see. While Brennan's moved into the digital age?
Yes, three of the members have.
All right, let's get the equipment part down. What kind of tape are you using? Please, people want to know.
It's the Iowa cassette, mini cassette tape recorder. And it has an external mic.
An external mic.
And it also has a counter so that there's a reference. You can reference where you hear a voice.
Standard cassette recorder.
That's correct. And we use brand new tapes every time we go to a location.
Very important.
Never reuse a tape.
Pull the cellophane off the sucker and never reuse it, because, of course, you might get something that was somehow on there.
That's
so, okay,
correct.
Fine. That's how you do it. Now, Brennan, what equipment have you begun to use?
I'm really, right now, we're using we're actually using a couple different digital recorders. One is an Iowa digital recorder, and I can't remember exactly what the model number is. If you go to our website, we list all the equipment that we have and the models and all that, so people can go out and actually use the same stuff.
Okay. And you use an external mic also?
Yeah, we do.
And right.
Actually, I found out it just turns out clearer. I mean, the quality of the voice actually seems to be clearer when you do use an external mic. And especially, you know, we really use the recorders for two purposes. One, to document the entire investigation, and the other, obviously, to record EVP.
Well, I remember back when we were urging you to try digital, you seemed to have the feeling that it would not manifest as easily on digital for some reason as tape, something about the magnetic heads or whatever.
Yeah.
But that turned out, would you still say, not to be true, or what?
Well, definitely. I mean, the theory that we had back then, I mean, definitely it can't be true, because obviously we are getting voices on these digital recorders.
As frequently?
Yes.
Actually, yeah, I would say as frequently.
Well, and then, Barbara, what are you waiting for?
Hey, I'm an old lady. I like the old stuff.
but in a sense, it doesn't matter. These EVPs are showing up either on tape recorders or on digital recorders. Doesn't matter. They're showing up anyway, right?
Well, that's true. And actually, that brings up a really interesting point about this whole phenomena. There's times where I will be standing right next to Barbara, me using a digital recorder and her using an analog tape recorder, and sometimes I will get a voice and she won't, and I'm no more than 5 feet away from her. Mm. Or it's the opposite. She'll pick up a voice and I won't. Or other times we both get voices. I mean, the phenomenon varies so much.
How many times do you both get voices? How frequent is that?
Oh, it's pretty frequent. I mean, I would say that the majority of times when something is picked up, it's picked up by the recorders that are close at hand, because we have, well, like Jenny, one of our other members, she'll carry around the digital and also a regular mini cassette recorder.
So she's in transition.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm going to have to replace mine. My recorder probably has about a million miles on it now, and it's starting to not be reliable, so I'm going to have to try to find me another one, and it's getting hard to find the...
All right, and you all hang out in places like prisons and graveyards and funeral directors' homes and places, cheery little places like that, right?
That's correct. Any place that's reported having activity taking place.
Well, here's where I want to ask you about something, and it is, you once told me that while there are hot spots, it's not any necessarily more likely that, I mean, you'd get them anywhere, and yet you all still gravitate toward these, I don't know, graveyards and things, right?
Yes, but they're easy access. You know, probably our hardest obstacle is getting permission to get in to a location.
To these various places.
Right.
Yeah. You know. All right. Well, then let us begin the, I hesitate to say the evening's entertainment, but I guess that's what it is in a way. You've just got to hear this to believe it, folks. So you're about to hear it. The first group that we're going to hear from, I guess, is in a funeral director's home. Is that correct, or is it just one?
That's correct. It's the same funeral director's home.
Okay.
I believe it's the next 8 tracks you're going to hear from this man's house. And I don't know if you'll recall, I'm sure some of your listeners will, probably about a year ago, we actually did the first investigation in this man's home. And this is the home that I had the experience with the young boy in the mirror running behind me, and his head was... I mean, the only thing I could explain is that his neck was broke because of how he was looking at me.
You mean it was in such an unnatural position?
That's correct. I mean, it did not look right. I mean, obviously it didn't look right just because there was a young boy running behind me when there was no children in the house. But on top of that, just the way he looked was so disturbing. I mean, it's something I really wouldn't want to see again.
Well, right away, I don't like that. I mean, right away, that indicates to me if you died, for example, of a broken neck or a back that went totally haywire or, you know, whatever, that this injury will then manifest itself on the other side as well. Isn't my vision of the other side at all.
Yeah, well, we asked him if after Brendan told us what he had witnessed there. We asked him, the funeral director, if he had recently had a young boy for burial there at his work that might have followed him home that had been killed from a broken neck.
And he said
no. He said they had had a lot of children that year, but none that he could recall having a broken neck. So.
All right. All right, so let us go to track one. Set that up.
All right. Well, this track, and this was recorded using the digital recorder, and I recorded this in the basement of this funeral director's home. And Barbara and I were the only ones in the basement at the time. And you're going to hear Barbara say, "Will you talk to us if you're here?" And as she's saying this, she's looking through her infrared camera. And she says, "Oh, hi," because she had just seen an orb on the camera. And then she talks to me saying, "Yeah, there is something here, Brendan." And right after that, you're going to hear, it sounds like kind of a younger woman saying, "Come enjoy the light.
Come enjoy the light." All right, let's see if that's what we hear. Here you go.
"Can you talk to us if you're here?" "Oh, hi. Yeah, there is something here, Brendan.
Come enjoy the light. Come enjoy the light. Come enjoy the light."
Come enjoy the light. Clearly said, come enjoy the light. Now, did you all hear that? If not, what I do is I play these twice because I know a lot of people are straining to hear them and may not hear them the first time. Therefore, once again.
"Can you talk to us if you're here?" "Oh, hi. Yeah, there is something here, Brendan.
Come enjoy the light. Come enjoy the light. Come enjoy the light.
Come enjoy the light." Now that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Considering that those who die, those that we get back, you know, the near-death experiences,
right,
rather than the full affair, all talk about the light.
The light. And I thought that was an interesting thing that she said.
Yes.
To the light.
Yes, that it was not just the light, but that it was enjoyable. I thought it did quite clearly say that. Sometimes I disagree with, you know, I know that some of this is open to interpretation, but I mean, that's a voice out of nowhere. How were you aware, Barbara? I heard you say, "Well, yes, there is something here." How were you aware there was?
Well, we used the infrared video cameras, and I saw this orb coming towards me, and
oh,
it went off to the side.
Oh, you mean an orb like we see in the orb photographs, the little blobs of light?
Right.
Yeah, that's really...
And many times when we start talking to them, they'll respond to us. They'll stay right in front of the camera and kind of hoover there.
They hoover, huh?
Yes. Yeah, just have a little bounce to them, and they'll stay there.
Uh-huh.
Come up close to us. Sometimes the infrared light will drown them out, and you can't tell where they go. But they'll get so close to you, you can't follow them because of the infrared drowning them out.
All right, let's be clear about something. Do you think that these entities that you're encountering and that are actually speaking to you, my God, it's eerie to listen to, but are actually speaking to you, do you think that these are people who have reached their final destination? Do you have any clue of all the things you've listened to? How many clues do you have about the nature of the other side? Are they just trapped on Earth? Are they spending a little short vacation here before going on? What?
Well, it would have to be theory, but I do not believe that they have reached their final destination. I do think that there is someplace else that we go to when we die, and I don't think that they've crossed that line yet.
You don't think so?
No. For some reason, they're still here.
Do you have anything beyond what you just said, that it's your theory, anything from your work that says that's might be so, that might be true?
There's been a few voices that have indicated that, you know, there's been the self-realization that they're dead. There's one location that we frequent quite a bit because of the EVPs that we record there.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them sound like the same voices. They'll sound like the same spirits are there. But there was one that we recorded that she said, "I'm completely dead," and we never have recorded her voice again there.
I recall that statement, which I thought was pretty darn chilling. "I'm completely dead." Now, of course, she could be referring to complete as in the physical sense or mm-hmm. as in I'm at my final destination. I'd surely rather believe in the first.
Well, and the cadence of that woman's voice when we recorded her was almost like she had had a self-realization. I mean, the fact of us being there looking for ghosts, it was almost like she just realized, well, they're looking for me.
One more ahead of the bottom of the hour. Before we get to the bottom of the hour, from the funeral director's home, here is number two. What is this?
Brendan and I were still in the basement, and we were sitting. Brendan was on one couch, and I was sitting on another couch off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear me say, can you tell me who you are? My name is Barbara, and this is Brendan. And what's interesting about this voice, it sounds like a small child. He says, I'm three, and then Brendan asks, how old are you?
Huh. Even prior to the question?
Prior to the question.
Prior to the question. All right, here we go.
Can you tell me who you are? My name is Barbara, and this is Brendan.
I'm three.
How old are you?
I'm three.
Oh, man. On top of the fact that I that's clearly a child's voice.
Yes.
Clearly a child's voice. Very troubling. Really troubling. One more time. Here it is. Listen carefully.
Can you tell me who you are? My name is Barbara, and this is Brendan.
How old are you?
Do they read minds?
It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes. Do they read the minds of the living? That would clear. How many times has that ever happened to you? A question answered prior to being posed.
It's happened before, but not very often. And I mean, obviously, that one is just so, it just blows you away.
Blatant.
Yes.
So blatant. That's the way I'd put it. How does it feel to have your mind read, Brendan? A little strange.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little disturbing.
But the whole thing is a little disturbing and strange, isn't it? Yes, this is October. Hey, don't forget, I'm going to be doing Ghost to Ghost, an entirely caller-driven show on that day, the 31st of October, from the high desert. This is Coast to Coast AM.
East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth are here this morning, along with recordings that they've taken by, well, all sorts of methods. Standard tape recorders with brand new cassette tapes and digital recorders as well. These have been taken in funeral homes, graveyards, prisons, places like that. And I don't know. As you listen, If you don't get a little chill down your spine, then in my opinion, you're not listening. Kevin fast blasts me from Ohio, saying, at the beginning of your show tonight, you mentioned a possible photograph of a shadow creature. Oh, yes, I did. It's on my webcam right now. If you go to the website, in the upper left-hand corner, you just click on webcam. Indeed, it was sent to me by an unidentified person who does not want to be identified in Seattle, Washington. It is clearly a shadow person in the middle of the room. Kevin says, in a recent lecture given by Stephen Hawking, entitled Brain New World, I assume he means say that brain as in our brain, Brain New World, he mentions the possibilities of shadow worlds and people. Wow! Stephen Hawking mentions shadow people. Perhaps an entire shadow world. You make up your own mind, as with everything that we present to you on this program. Digest and see what you think, but go to the website by all means and go to the top left-hand corner, click on webcam, and look at what's in the middle of a living room. Now, I wonder, just out of curiosity, you two, have you had an opportunity to take a look at that?
Yes, we have. Very intriguing, very good picture.
Yes, we have had many, many who have seen shadow creatures, but very few photographs, and this is a particularly good one.
Well, I mean, the actual photo almost looks like the entity suspended from the ceiling almost.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? And so, it brings up the question of, you know, what form, or perhaps many forms, I mean, these may have previously been human beings, these shadow people. They may be interdimensional creatures of some sort, those that share the world with us now, who knows. But one thing's for sure, it seems to point toward something more than we understand as human beings, something more than we can prove. You know, religion is all faith-based, and you have to have faith, and that means believing in something that really isn't. Well, I believe that we have some existence after we die, but I don't know what kind. Your work seems to point toward one possibility, a shadow photograph, another. Did you see the ghost photograph?
Yes. That's a great photograph also.
Indeed, it is, yes. All right, well, back to what you do, recording the voices of those who may take those apparitional appearances. So number three here, again done in a funeral director's home, huh?
That's correct.
What about number three?
All right, in this track, you're going to hear the funeral director say, "Can you see the lights?"
Uh-huh.
And he was actually seeing lights in his home. Just recently, the phenomena that's been occurring in their home has become very visual. He's just recently got married, and his new wife has seen a small boy, and it scared her so bad that she wanted to leave. They're actually seeing quite a bit. And also, I believe he was touched a couple of times, and that bothered him.
There's also fragrances and smells. There was one night that we arrived, and they had walked out of the house because there was like the smell of boiled eggs or sulfur smelling. And it was still in the house when we walked in, but it immediately... you couldn't smell it after about, like, 2 minutes after being in the house.
Well, has this unidentified mortician made any connection between what he's experiencing, and it's beginning to sound very serious, and his work?
Yeah, he has. He definitely thinks that it's something that has attached itself to him. I mean, a body that he could have been working on, whether it be a child or something else. But, I mean, he works with bodies constantly.
Does he consider this to be a serious downside to his employment?
Well, he's been in this business all his life. His father and grandfather were both funeral directors.
Yes, well, I guess if we don't get to this, we'll run out of show here. So let's rock. Here it is, number three. And the question was, can you see the lights? And then some response by some entity, right?
That's correct. It sounds like a woman saying, I don't know if I want to live.
I don't know if I want to live.
Can you see what?
I'm not sure about that one at all. I don't know if I hear, I don't know if I want to live. I don't know if I hear that much.
Can you say what?
Well, okay, on that one, folks, I don't know if I hear as much of, I don't know, and then I hear live, but I don't know if I hear, I don't know if I want to live.
She kind of runs her words
together. Yes. Just operating on the presumption that that is what's being said. I don't know if I want to live. Since when does she, as an apparition, have that kind of choice?
Well, I really, and this goes back to a theory that some ghosts do not know that they have died. And I almost wonder if she does not know that she's dead.
Good
and
point.
For all she knows, she is still living. And this living that she's doing now is such hell for her because she can't communicate with anybody she loves. All these things are changing around her. She doesn't know where she's at. She doesn't know what she's doing. That she could say, I don't know if I want to live, because in her mind, she is still alive.
That's a very good point. On to number four. Set it up.
On this one, me and Brendan were down in the basement of the house, and we're in the dark, and Brendan doesn't have an infrared camera, so he's walking through this room. You're going to hear Brendan say, what's in front of me, Barb? And I respond, and I say, I don't think anything, Brendan. And then he interrupts, and he says, you don't think anything? And then I say, our left of you, to the left of you. And there's a voice that comes in and says, leave us out there.
Leave us out there. Leave us out there. Okay, here we go.
What's in front of me, Barb?
I don't think anything,
Brandon.
What's in front of me, Barb?
No, wait a minute. Remember, folks, this is in the dark. In the dark, in a mortician's basement.
What's in front of me, Barb?
I don't think anything, Brandon.
You don't think anything?
Or left of yet.
That's clear. That's very clear. Leave us out there. Leave us out there. is it always your impression these remarks are actually directed at you two, or could they be remarks directed at another?
Well, some of them seem like they are directed directly to what we're saying. Others seem like they're talking to somebody else.
Okay, leave us out there. I mean, that could mean, of course, so many things, but it could essentially mean let us alone. Let us alone. Leave us out there. You know, let us alone. Don't be summoning us from the other side or something like that. Who knows?
Right.
All right, number five.
All right, in this next clip, I was upstairs with Barbara's husband, Roger. And I was asking Roger, I say, do me a favor, Rog, take a picture of that. And I was pointing towards the mirror that I had actually seen this young boy in the last time we had been at this house.
Oh, yes.
And I wanted to use it for the website to actually post it so I could show people this is the mirror that I saw the young boy in.
Sure.
And I say, take a picture of that towards the mirror, but also at that. And I'm kind of pointing towards the fireplace. And then you're going to hear, and Roger and I were alone at this time. You're going to hear a younger woman say, it's okay, come on, it's a camera, hun. And the very first part of this where she says, it's okay, come on, is very It's almost fast, like she's trying to hurry something up.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Do me a favor, let's keep interest of that towards the mirror, but also all that.
Yeah, I think that's quite clear. You're right. The first part of it goes quite quickly. It's okay. Come on, it's a camera, hon. There was no female present at all.
No, not at this time. There wasn't.
That would appear to be one ghost, one entity speaking then to another.
And I also can hear another. It sounds like a young little child in between her sentence.
Oh? Oh, really? Let me listen again, by all means.
Do me a favor. Let's keep interest of that towards the mirror, but also all that.
That time,
like
that
a very young voice.
I heard it that time. I heard it that time. Yes. So that could be. I hate to be flippant, but a mother ghost talking to a child ghost.
That's kind of what it reminded me of when I first heard that.
As you see, I'm always trying to draw, and perhaps more times than not, I'm sure incorrectly, some sort of inference about the other side or about the condition these spirits are in from what they say. And that would imply, I don't know, hun, that implies some sort of loving relationship taking place on the other side, right?
That's right. I believe
maybe.
That you still have emotion and love and for the things that you did in life after
I
you
hope
die.
So. I hope so. Otherwise, we haven't really transferred our consciousness to the other side, because our consciousness, at least part of it, is made up of all the emotions that we feel and experience, right?
Correct.
So if it really does continue, it would have to continue with those emotions somewhat intact.
That's correct.
Yes, all right. Number six.
In this clip, you're going to hear Brendan. He was up in the funeral director's son's room.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear Brendan say, "Is anyone in here?" And we believe that this voice responding says, "Not alive."
Here you go.
Is anyone in here?
Wow. I absolutely agree. That man is saying, "Not alive." Is anyone in here? Not alive. And it's responded to in that way, in that sense, as if you were answering, "Yeah, we're here, but baby, we're not alive." Listen.
Is anyone in here?
I can just about picture somebody in an 18-wheeler hanging about 75 miles an hour down one of the freeways here in the West, listening to this, and totally creeping out in the middle of the night. Now, not alive. That seemed to be an answer. We were talking about that a minute ago. He seemed to be responding directly to you, didn't he?
Yes. Well, yeah, there's that. And also, I mean, notice how much he's almost got personality in his answer.
Exactly.
I mean, it's almost very exactly. sarcastic.
Exactly. Yeah, we're here, but not alive.
Exactly.
By the way, I know y'all are brave and all that stuff, but I wouldn't go into a mortician's house where strange things have been flying around and lights are scooting around and voices are going on and you're in his basement in the dark. Good Lord.
It really is not scary at the time.
How could that not be scary?
Well, I mean, when we do this, we have such a mindset that these are people. I mean, you can't look at them as, you know, what Hollywood wants you to believe, because that's just simply not the way they are. They're people that have lived and died, they've had a body, and they have the exact same personality they had in life. I mean, the majority of people you see in life are not mean. I mean, most of them are very nice.
All right, let me try this one out on you. A lot of people who die as older people die as grouchy old, you know,
right,
miserable.
And we've come up against them.
And then if a child were to die, a child would, you know, if you retain all your faculties and emotions and everything that is consciousness, a child would still be curious about everything in the world and be like a child is in death even, right?
Correct.
And that's what you find?
Yes.
A lot of the times, yes.
I recorded a child's voice one time. I was fooling with my tape recorder, and I recorded a little child say, "Can you talk with it?"
The meaning of that, you think, would be, could you talk to us with that?
I believe it. He was wanting to know if I could talk with this thing that I was holding in my hand.
All right. Number seven.
All right. Well, on this one, you're going to hear the mortician. He was describing to us one of the events that he had happen in this house.
Right.
And he was pointing over towards his sofa in the basement, and he was saying there was a yellow spark. And apparently he had seen a yellow spark come up behind the sofa.
Yeah.
And this cut always makes me laugh when I hear this, because the response is so off the wall. Nobody had said anything.
And?
When this happened. And you're just going to hear a man's voice go,
Really? All right, here we go.
There's a yellow spark.
Yes. I'll tell you what I think about that after we do it. Well, no, I'll tell you now. It seems to me we're hearing from the entity who was responsible for the spark with kind of a like, yeah, baby, it was me. I mean, here, listen. That's the way I take it anyway. You know,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I wonder who did that. Do you think these entities are to that degree retaining their, I don't know, sense of humor, or...
They definitely have a great sense of humor, many of them.
Practical joke ability. I hope that remains after death. I've rather always enjoyed playing practical jokes.
Yeah, we have had some interesting stories told to us about some of them have a wonderful sense of humor.
So hopefully that transitions with one to the other side. One
I
can
think
imagine
if you have
so
it in life, you're going to keep it.
Really? Gee, with the powers to create yellow sparks and little blobs that flit across the living room and chains rattling in the attic to be able to do all that after you're gone. Yeah, not bad. Okay, you two, hold on. Take a break. We're at the top of the hour, all right?
Okay.
All right. We've got Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth from GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society, in the high desert, in the middle of the night. This is Coast to Coast AM.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com.
I'm
In the Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Which at the moment is doing nothing more or less than listening to the voices of the dead. That's right. I know the voices of the dead, but what else? We'll be right back. I'd like to remind everybody that you can email me. Yes, that wonderful electronic method of getting from here to there. You may email me at artbell@mindspring.com. That's A-R-T-B-E-L-L, all in lowercase, at mindspring.com. Or you can also email me, artbell@aol.com. Two methods. You may also fast blast me. And that's available on the website, near the webcam, somewhere or another. You hit Fast Blast, and you can type a question to me during the course of the show. It's a very interesting way to get immediate input from the audience. And here is one from Chris in Monticello, Iowa. And it is, hey, you two, have you ever encountered something that was truly dark, evil, and just plain bad all around?
I really cannot say that we have. We've been into locations where there's an oppressive, heavy feeling. Mm-hmm. I have never experienced anything that...
that fit that description?
No.
What about you, Brennan?
I haven't, nothing to what he's asking about, as far as... something that's so dark and oppressive. But, I mean, I have witnessed things that bothered me. And like I mentioned before, the young boy that I saw run behind me in the mirror.
That'd be one. But how about a spirit that screams at you, get out?
Well, we've had that happen.
I know you've had that. I remember playing them. And so how could that not strike you that way?
I think it's more... the fact that, and I think the voice you're thinking of that said get out was from a prison.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that are in prisons, especially that long ago, they weren't there for, you know, very good crimes. I mean, they did something to get in there, and they weren't the best people. So, I mean, you just kind of take that into account when you go into it, that these are the kind of people you're going to be dealing with.
So, then on the other side, we can expect all the very worst rapists and serial killers that we've executed, huh?
Well, that...
If they stay, yeah, I mean...
Well, unless they have a different destination, right?
No, that's true.
But you'll also have your nice, sweet old ladies that bake cookies every day.
Well, there's a combination for you. All right, number eight, again, and finally, I believe, from the mortician's home...
Yes, this one was recorded by the funeral director.
Oh. He took to doing it himself, huh?
Yes, he went and got his tape recorder. He was visually seeing a woman that we could not see.
Uh-huh.
And he went and got his tape recorder, and he he asked, you'll hear him say, "What's your name?" And this voice was recorded. It sounds like it says Marty or Margie or Marnie. It has that sound to it.
What prompted the mortician to ask the question?
Because he could see her, and we could not.
Okay, here we go. It's a short one.
What's your name?
Oh. I think that's a woman's voice again.
What's your name?
I'd say Margie. I'd say that was a female.
That was Jenny and my first impression that it was Margie.
Yeah, Margie, and we were hearing a female voice. That's definitely what it sounded like. All right. Finally, we exit the funeral director's home. I'd have been out a long time ago. After the first two, I'd have been gone. But now we make our way to none other than the Rawlins prison. That's what, Rawlins, Wyoming?
Yes.
Right.
Revisited.
Okay, is this the Rawlins prison? Is it now closed?
Yes, it's now a museum, and it's a wonderful. Anyone going through Rawlins should really try to take the time to go through this
prison.
Tour of the prison.
Prison. Well, by the way, do I hear a radio on in the background? If someone has a radio on, please extinguish it post-haste. I do hear something.
I don't know. Let me...
Somebody perhaps in another room or something.
Let me go check that real quick.
Either that or I'm getting EVPs of my own show. Can you all hear that in the background? Yeah, I definitely hear something in the background. So we're going to the Rawlins prison, and what's the story here?
Well, the Rawlins prison, I don't know if you remember this or not, but 2 years ago, actually, we did an investigation there, and we pretty much devoted an entire show with you on,
yes.
on this prison.
I well recall, yes.
And so this is Rawlins Revisited is what it is.
Rawlins 2. Okay. So when did you go back, by the way?
This was September 18th, I believe was the day. September 18th of this year was when we went back.
Mm-hmm. And number 9 here?
Well, this one, what you're going to hear is, and this was recorded in the death house of the prison, and you're going to hear the prison director start talking about, and he and I were over there, and we were complaining it was cold, and then she says something that you can't really make out, and then she finishes it off with, "We got warm." And then here's the real interesting thing. You're going to hear a kid say he was.
A kid?
In the death house of this prison.
By the way, how did they, you say death house, how did they execute people when the prison was open?
Well, there were two ways. Originally, when the prison first opened, they did it by hanging. And then in, I believe it was the 1950s, they installed a gas chamber. And they would execute them by hydrocyanic gas. And that kind of leads me into this next thing is, the only thing we can rationalize on why we would hear a kid in this death house,
yes,
is the last inmate to be killed there was a man by the name of Andrew Pixley. And he committed the worst crime in Wyoming history. He was found on top of two girls. He had ate them. It's pretty much what had happened.
And did you say he had eaten them?
Yes.
Oh,
he,
my God.
He tore their bodies
apart with his teeth.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, and he also had the fastest execution. He went straight in, and within, I think it was 2 months, they had executed him. But they did gas him. He lasted longer in the gas chamber than anyone in that prison. He lasted 5 minutes. It took him 5 minutes to die. And the guards were afraid of him. They, in his cell, they would claim that there was this horrible stench that would come out of his cell. They would claim that they would hear children's voices coming out of the cell. When obviously
there was other voices also coming out of his cell that were not his voice.
Exactly. And this is,
and he never slept.
This is the only reason, you know, we can really rationalize why you would hear a child's voice in this prison.
Okay, here we go.
And he and I were over there complaining that it was cold, and most recently we got one.
All right. Now, once again, what you are supposedly hearing here, and it's a little indistinct, is the prison director, and he and I were over there, and we were complaining it was cold, then something you can't make out, and then supposedly we got warm, and he was.
And he and I were over there, and we were complaining that it was cold, and the most recent thing we got warm.
Oh, that's to even consider, to even think that a child's voice would be present after an inmate of that sort was executed. Anybody want to explain to me what that?
Well, I know they did have a young prisoner there that was probably about 14 or 15 at one time,
yeah,
in the frontier days, but this voice sounds younger than that.
Yeah, I don't believe it's that young.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think I do. Oh, that's horrible. You know, that's so close to what you would have to think of as pure evil that maybe that, I mean, just hear the story of what he did. That's so close to pure evil. It's,
yes,
insanity, of course, but it's a pure evil kind of insanity. I don't know.
Well, and he claimed that he didn't remember doing it when he had done it. And
well, maybe he was right.
Well, and they tried him, and he said, you know, I don't remember doing this, and if I did, I believe I should die for it.
And it was the parents that found him in the room. They were it was a hotel room.
He really said that. I don't believe that I did this, but if I did, I should die for it.
Yeah,
yes.
He said, I don't remember doing
it. I don't
this,
remember
but if
doing
I did, you should. I believe he said you should kill me for it.
Well, I've interviewed people like Father Malachi Martin, and they will tell you without exception, without question, that people are inhabited by evil spirits, by Lucifer.
And that,
you know, the it really does happen. And what if it happened to that man? What if he doesn't remember it? It's so evil that nobody, I mean, that's the kind of thing you'd say if you were sane, right? If I really did do this,
yes,
well, then I deserve to die.
That's correct.
All right, we better move. Number 10.
This one, we were in different parts of the prison. We kind of scattered out, and we use walkie-talkies to keep in contact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And Brendan had radioed to me. I was in a different part of the prison than he was. And you're going to hear me respond back to him and say, Brendan. And then there's a woman's voice that says his name, repeats his name, but in a very different way than I called to him.
Yes.
And then you'll hear Brendan radio back and tell me to hold on a second, Barbara.
All right.
Brendan?
Hold.
Hold on a second, Barbara.
Clear.
Brendan.
Oh, no question about it. And a young woman's voice at that. Listen very carefully. This is a good one. This is a very good one.
Brendan? Hold on a second, Barbara.
Brendan. Well, that's no radio voice, that's for sure.
That's no radio voice. And there were women in this prison that were prisoners there.
There were?
Yes. They were kept separate from the men. They were above, they were kind of attached in an area.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe the bad ones are not out wandering around. I mean, what if you die in prison, maybe the larger cosmos keeps you in prison?
Well, you know, I kind of have a theory that hell is repetition, and what worse place to be than prison and keep repeating that over and over and over again? And
oh, you're right.
I mean, especially the people that go to prison, and for some of the crimes that they've committed, like that Andrew Pixley, it's best not to even think about it.
And yet there are priests who will go to that prison at the end, the very last moments of the prisoner's life, and tell him that if he, I don't know, converts or takes God on or Jesus, at the very last minute, he will nevertheless be forgiven.
That's
part of our religion.
Correct.
Yeah. That's part of the Christian religion. Okay, number 11.
All right. In this clip, Barbara and Jenny were off by themselves, and you'll hear Barbara talking to Jenny, and she's saying, "You see it?" And she could see her reflection in the marble of one of the corridors in the prison.
Yeah.
And then she says, "Oh, now it changes." And then she says, "See it again?" And then after that, you'll hear, it sounds like a really young woman saying, "It's all right."
Okay. Here we go.
"You see it? Well, now it changes. See it?
All right. Now, what I want everybody to pay attention to in this, it's my own little thing, but do you hear the acoustics when whatever it is says it's all right? The acoustics would appear to match the acoustics that you're hearing with the more human voices. Now, that's really interesting. Listen carefully to the acoustics.
"You see it? Well, now it changes. See it?
Do you hear the acoustics in that, you all?
Yes.
Maybe it's wonderful. I don't know, but it's as though to achieve, I'm trying to think about this, to achieve that, it would have to be allowed. However,
we didn't hear it.
However, maybe on the other side, the acoustics are the same because it virtually is the same on the other side, but just in a sort of a, on a different frequency or in a different,
it opens all kinds of questions to you, doesn't it?
Dimension is what I was going to say. Something. But the acoustics sound the same, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's in the same room as you're in.
Yes, and she was.
And she was. Huh. Okay. Number 12.
There was an area of this prison when they would bring the prisoners into the prison.
Yes.
Where there was a whipping post, and they would tie the prisoners to this whipping post and whip them.
This is a very old prison, isn't it? I mean,
yes.
It's been a long time. How long ago did we whip people?
Well, it was a frontier prison. It was built
1890.
Late 1800s.
Huh.
And that was their custom of what they would do to every prisoner that they brought into this place. And the pole was still there.
Okay.
And you'll hear Brendan ask the prison director, so they would actually whip people here. And this voice was recorded that says, "Yeah, they would, our prisoners."
Cool.
And then the prison director, you'll hear her say, "There's one in the Peace Officers Museum, too."
Here it is.
"So they would actually whip people there?"
"There's one in the Peace Officers Museum, too."
Well, the way he said that as though he was the warden. Who else would say our prisoners? Well, maybe a guard.
"So they would actually whip people there?"
"There's one in the Peace Officers Museum, too."
So do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That sounds as though it's coming from a figure of authority, our
Correct.
Prisoners, as in the warden, or maybe even another, a guard or something.
Right, and there was a guard that was murdered there.
Murdered there.
Mm-hmm.
That's certainly believable in a prison. All right, you two, hang tough. And that's how you have to hang when you're listening to this kind of a program, Tough. From the High Desert, I'm Art Bell. And of course, in the nighttime, this is Coast to Coast AM. Stay planted.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com. Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 775-727-1222. Or call the wildcard line at 775-727-1295. To talk with Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Well, it is, and this is a ride we're all going to take eventually. Some like to defer it for a little while. Hopefully that'll happen for you. However, it is a ride we're all going to take. And so we're examining what might be on the other side of the roller coaster. Stay right where you are. Well, this is pretty cool. The board operator at one of my affiliates as a matter of fact, it's WCTC. Now, how's that for a set of call letters? Coast to Coast. WCTC in New Brunswick, New Jersey, agrees. The acoustics, remember I mentioned that? He says, very close. The voice is audible, but the voice could have been saying, it's over as well. Thanks to this show, I'm actually starting to believe some of this stuff truly exists. And that's pretty interesting. Believes it truly exists. Well, I surely do, too. How can you not? And that comes to you, too. So let me ask you, you two, do you believe this stuff really exists? What conclusions have you two come to? I mean, listening and gathering and doing all this all the time. How about it? What do you believe?
Well, I believe that how you live really affects on how you are after you die and how you are with people and how you are in your thoughts. It's not going to change after we pass on. Your garbage is going to stay with you.
Garbage in, garbage out. Right?
It won't leave.
Uh-huh. But then those who have good qualities, those who are happy in life and have been enjoyed, in other words, you are what you eat, like that kind
exactly.
of.
Exactly. Yeah. I really don't think that you will, I don't believe that happy ghosts stay ghosts for very long.
Do you have any proof of that?
We haven't recorded too many happy-sounding ones.
No.
Oh. Good point, but... would you think then that... Well, a sense of humor doesn't get you to heaven. It takes more than that. Let's just move on to the next one, I guess. You could speculate about this until the cows come home.
That's
and
right.
You almost can't help but do it. You almost can't help but do it because you want to know about the other side. All right, we're still in the Rawlins prison.
That's right.
Where we're going to be for a while. And what have we coming here?
All right, well, this clip, and this is pretty interesting, just the way this clip comes out in the context and then the voice and all of it just kind of works together.
Okay.
In this clip, you're going to hear Barry, I, and the prison director. We were outside, and she was taking us over to an area of the courtyard in the prison, and she was explaining that there used to be dungeons here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear her say, "We know that there is a dungeon. Have you guys ever read the diary set we sell, Sweet Smell of Sagebrush?" And then I respond, "No." And then she continues saying, "Well, the Sweet Smell of Sagebrush, brush is Stanley Hudson. He was here four." And then you're going to hear the beginning of this EVP, and you're going to hear it twice in the actual sentence that she's finishing.
What is the EVP?
I'm actually on this one. I'm not going to tell you because you'll be able to hear it as soon as it comes in. But she finishes saying different times, and he talks about the dungeon, so we know there was a dungeon. And then I finish saying, "And he was an inmate." And then she finishes, "Yeah."
So this is good. This is very good. So they're not going to tell you this time, and that's a good experiment to do. It's much like the old reverse speech thing. A lot of people say, "Well, they're telling us what we're going to hear, and so we hear it." So, okay, here's an EVP where you're going to have to figure out which is the EVP, the electronic voice phenomena, yourself. That's not going to happen there. Wrong cut. So let's stop this and go to the real EVP. Otherwise, they're playing bongos over there on the other side. Okay, let me see. Well, when you're trying to do everything, occasionally that occurs. It is actually this one, so here we go. No bongos here, but listen carefully.
"We know that there is a dungeon. Have you guys ever read that diary we sell, Sweet Smell Sagebrush?"
"No."
"Well, Sweet Smell Sagebrush is Stanley Hudson. We share four different times, and he talks about the dungeon. So we know that there was a dungeon."
"And he was an inmate?"
"Yeah. Four different times, and he talks about the dungeon. So we know that four different times, and he talks about the dungeon. So we know that..."
Well, that's a total duh. A total duh. Obviously, it's the horrible scream that goes on, right?
Yes.
Horrible scream.
Horrible.
Now,
like he's being tormented or tortured.
Exactly. Now, listen, I'm going to play it again, folks. And if that is not torture, forget torment. What you're hearing there is absolute torture. Listen to the quality of the scream. Listen very carefully.
"We know that there is a dungeon. Have you guys ever read that diary we sell, Sweet Smell Sagebrush?"
"No."
"Well, Sweet Smell Sagebrush is Stanley Hudson. We share four different times, and he talks about the dungeon. So we know that there was a dungeon."
"And he was an inmate?"
"Yeah."
"God.
Four different times, and he talks about the dungeon. So we know that..." "Four different times, and he talks about the dungeon. So
oh,
know that..."
God, that's awful.
It is awful. I just hate that.
That's part, I guess, of being in a prison, but that's, you're saying they put people on posts and whip them, right?
Yes.
That's what that sounds like, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and that was just, the post. That was in plain view of everybody else. The dungeon was hidden away underground, so I can only imagine what they'd actually do.
By a long shot, That's the worst one yet. I mean, that is the worst one yet. There is no question about the fact that that's torture.
"We know that there is a dungeon. Have you guys ever read that diary we sell, Sweet Smell Sagebrush?"
"No."
"Well, Sweet Smell Sagebrush is Stanley Hudson. We share four different times, and he talks about the dungeon. So we know that there was a dungeon."
"And he was an inmate?"
"Yeah. Four different times, and he talks about the dungeon. So we know that..." "Four different times. And he talks about the dungeon."
No question about that, guys. No question at all. Now, when you heard that, What do you surmise from that? That this torture is going on eternally? I think that's a yes, probably, isn't it?
Well, we talked about that. When I heard it and then I brought it up to Barbara and had her listen to it, she was extremely disturbed by it, I mean, as she just told you. And we started talking about why you would hear this. I mean, why you would hear this voice screaming.
Yes.
And, you know, I told her that I thought, well, and like I told you before, that this is a prison, and the people that are there are not the nicest people, and they could be just repeating this stuff over and over and over and over again.
Or it's residual, one of the two.
Or it's residual. Yes, that's another theory, and I think we ought to talk about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The possibility, and it's only really a possibility, I mean, you know, I you can sort of hope for residual in a case like
that's
that.
That's what I hope. This man isn't being tortured mentally. I mean, it would have to be a mental thing.
The trouble with residual is, if it were residual, then you wouldn't get obvious, absolute responses to things that you say.
That's right. I mean, that's what kind of worried me about it, is that we are talking about the dungeon, and we are in the area that the dungeon was, and they've since cemented the dungeon in. They've poured cement into it, and you can't get to it now.
Well, I would like to believe residual, because that means that it's not eternal torture, but the fact that you get so many that are responsive to things you say, and in the current moment, that you can't really believe that.
Well, in this instant, in this particular EVP, I would imagine that there was terrible torture that took place in this dungeon area. And usually when it's a residual haunting, it's from a very emotional event that, like, burns itself into the atmosphere there. And so,
well, then
I can
maybe,
see this.
Okay, then maybe the best we can hope for is that it's both, that there is some residual memory left that you're picking up. Because that's all we can hope, because on the other hand, we do get these directly responsive things to you, so it would have to be both if it's going to be residual.
Well, I think that I'm hoping that this one is. I don't believe the other ones are residual, because there is such good interaction of what's taking place at the time.
You're a real optimist for death, aren't you, Barbara? I mean, you're always sort of the half cup full kind of girl when you listen to these.
My cup is always half full.
whereas Brendan is perhaps a little darker about it all in the way he views these responses. I guess the audience probably split a million different ways on him. All right, number 14.
All right, in this one, Brendan and Barry were together in an area of the prison, and they could hear Roger talking. And you're going to hear Brendan say, "Who's Roger with then?" He was talking to somebody. And Barry answers and says he could be talking to somebody and have nobody with him. And this voice, we're uncertain for sure what it says. It almost sounds like it says, "Porter, lose again." And then, but definitely the last word is coward.
Coward. All right, well, let's see what we can get out of this.
Who's Roger with then? He was talking to somebody.
He could be talking to somebody and have nobody with him.
All right, well, clearly you can hear the word at the end, coward, and it sounds like a woman's voice. Do you all agree?
Yes.
All right, one more time. Listen, you can certainly hear coward at the end.
Who's Roger with then? He was talking to somebody.
He could be talking to somebody and have nobody with him.
Presented twice and clearly for your consideration. All right. Again, in her voice, interesting thing. I noted a kind of a I don't know, emotional attitude in the way she said whatever it was she said. It ended with coward, but there was emotional inflection in what she said.
Yes.
Agreed?
Yes.
She does. I mean, it definitely seems like she keeps her personality. I mean, whatever it was in life, which, I mean, who knows what that is, but she definitely seems to portray that in that voice.
Are you two now positive that what you're receiving on these tape recorders, on these digital recorders, what you're receiving is not some weird, I don't know, a million things are suggested. It's a radio station, and you're catching some little bit of a broadcast somewhere. Or, well, since you use new tapes, it really couldn't be even.
Maybe some artifact. We have picked up radio in some areas.
It happens, yes.
And you can definitely tell radio. There's no doubt about radio.
I mean, there's definitely a distinct difference in sound quality between these voices and radio transmission.
Well, you're right. I could tell in a second if it was radio. As a matter of fact, listening to all this, I guarantee you, I would have chimed up and I'd have said, hey, that's some part of a broadcast or something.
That's
but
correct.
No, it does not sound like that at all.
And this location, the prison, the seat, you know, the walls are so high, and when you do talk in there, it's echoey.
I guess what I'm trying to do is cause my audience to ask themselves, what the hell else could this be? I mean, you listen to these, if it's not a broadcast and it's not some other weird phenomena that I'm pretty far into electronics, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what could be putting these voices on there. Not a clue. And so you're led to the inevitable conclusion that somehow spirits are able to communicate over our modern electronic devices, or the devices hear them. Do you believe these are projected voices, that it's hard for these entities to make themselves heard, or do you think they just do it?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, I definitely think it strains them to do this. And in a lot of the voices, you can almost hear that they're straining to get these sentences across. I mean, it's almost, you can almost compare it to running out of breath.
Hmm.
I mean, it just, and that doesn't make sense, obviously, with no lungs, but, I mean, it seems like they're really trying to get these voices onto our tapes.
Is it your impression, the two of you, that they can see you as clearly as each other, that they see you all of the time, but you don't see them all of the time? Is that your impression?
I believe that they know that we're there. I believe that they're aware of us.
Only in the same...
I don't know if they can...
Only in the way that you seem to know they are there, by some sort of intuition, only at that level, or do you think they can see?
Well, I can't always tell when they're there. I mean, it's real extreme times when I'm physically aware that there is something there. We don't assume when we go into a location that, unless we have investigated it prior to you know, and know that there is something there, we do not assume when we go into a location that it has ghosts. Unless we get evidence that there is something at a place. But I do feel like they are aware of our presence.
More than you are theirs.
Yes.
You have to wonder if the world of the dead, such as it is, looks at the world of the living without difficulty or with some difficulty or... I don't know.
I think our physical beings, you know, our physical bodies limit us a great deal on what we're able to sense.
All right, let's squeeze one more in before the top of the hour. Number 15.
All right, well, this clip, I recorded this, and this was also on the digital. I was walking down a corridor that led into the shower area of the prison, which was actually the most murders in the prison happened in this area.
Yes.
Where the showers were.
Yes.
You will hear the prison director asking me, well, what did you do with it? And she's referring to a CD that I had made for her with all these voices on it. And apparently
yes.
She never got it.
Right.
And you hear me say, I've still got it. I keep backups of all of them. And then this man comes in and says, I have to go now. I'm dead.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, let's take a listen to that. Here we go.
I still got it, because I make backups of all of them.
I don't know how to take that one. I have to go now. I'm dead.
I still got it, because I make backups of all of them.
Yikes, you two. I have to go now. I'm dead. All right, what do we draw out of that one? Well, gee, let's see. What could it be? You know, I have such a busy life now that I'm dead. I got to go. Sorry. or what?
Maybe he just realized it because they were talking about voices of the dead.
This is death, you know, things to do, places to go. Or, well, I have to go now, I'm dead. What? I don't get it. why is he there in the first place? Why does he feel hurried to go anywhere? Because he's dead. Now, there's somebody who you can't say doesn't know they're dead.
That's right.
He's clearly aware. So, in other words, what do we get? I always try to draw something from each of these, but I hate to blow up an earlier argument, but, you know, he is obviously aware he's dead, and he's still in this sort of, like, secondary place. He hadn't gone to heaven yet, or hell yet, or wherever it is that he's ultimately headed, but he darn well knows he's dead, and he knows he's there. You two, hold on. Coming toward the top of the hour. In the next hour, we'll be taking calls for these two, and I imagine you would have questions about all of this. Because consider the implications if it's real. If it is, these are the dead we're hearing. And the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the known time zones around the globe. I'm Art Bell, reaching just about that far. This is Coast to Coast AM Weekend Version. How y'all doing? It has been an interesting week for me. Not necessarily a great week, but an interesting week. I had a little bit of back trouble this week, not due to the show, not due to being on the air, mind you, but due to my own foolishness. I had an electronic project I was working on, and that necessitated me kneeling down and soldering. And when one kneels down and solders for hours on, you know, end at a time, one's back says hello to one very shortly thereafter. So the next day, couldn't walk straight. That's been kind of my week this week. Been a rough one. But we've got a lot. Boy, do we have a lot to do tonight. Listen, I want to send you immediately up to the website. And I want you first to take a look at my webcam. Now, on my webcam is a picture sent to me from somebody in Seattle, Washington. And I'm sure does not wish to be identified. At any rate, didn't suggest that I should identify them. However, it is purported to be and appears to be a clear photograph of a shadow person. You all know what a shadow person is, right? If you don't, a shadow person is that creature or whatever that you see from the corner of your eye occasionally, moving in the corner of your eye. But rarely can you distinctly make it out, although there have been reports recently of people beginning to see these shadow whatever they are, in plain sight. Now, I've never experienced that, but I have experienced that wispy movement of something in the corner of my eye, and here is somebody who purports to have captured its vision in photography, and it's obviously a living room, and it's obviously a creature of some kind. That's on my webcam on the website, coasttocoastam.com. So you definitely want to take, I'd like you anyway, to take a look at that, and you tell me what it is. We are in October, aren't we? Next hour, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth will be here with something that I want to talk more about, EVPs. And we'll talk a lot more about that. But in the meantime, I want to get you through a few things here. So take a look at that. My webcam photo, it's in the upper left-hand corner when you get on the website, way up there, Cesar's webcam. Take a look at that, a shadow person caught in action. And then, in a few moments, there's a ghost photograph we're going to talk about. Oh, and there's x10. x10. Oh, my God, x10. This you may have seen before. It's been around for a while, but it reminds me of the movie Contact. It will take you from thousands of light years away from the Earth in progressive changes. Hopefully your whatever kind of browser you're using will handle this, but it will show you in progressive stages coming right down to the Earth, eventually getting to the Earth from hundreds of millions of light years out, and then focusing in on an area near Florida, and then finally down to something the size of a leaf, coming in by satellite, down to the size of a leaf, and then inside the leaf until you get down to the atom of the leaf. So you're going from a distance beyond which anybody could ever hope to find us. In fact, when you watch this, as you watch it coming in on Earth, eventually Earth or even our system, you will understand how incredibly difficult it would be for anybody to find us, anybody ever to locate us. It's an incredible experience. It's called x10. You've got to click on it. It's there on the front of the website. And take the tour. And just sort of let your mind go with the tour. And if you don't come away from that with a sort of a, I don't know, an experience of how insignificant we really are, then you weren't watching. So you're going to want to have that experience. Indeed, how will they ever find us? And then a ghost photograph. A really good ghost photograph sent to me yesterday, and I called the gentleman in question. He'll explain to us what we're looking at. This ghost photograph is, it's called the Backyard Ghost, and it was sent to us, let me see, with the from the Alabama Foundation for Paranormal Research, and I've got the gentleman who sent it, Blake Wiley, on the phone, and we'll get to him in a few moments. Just one more light little item, and that is, as you know, WABC, that wonderful radio station in New York City, added the program last week, and when they did, it was my understanding, though I didn't find out about it until the very last moment, that it had occurred, and that Curtis Sliwa, my old nemesis at WABC, was rather upset about the prospect of my return. In fact, that week, WABC had been running, and you've asked me to play it, and I got it from the board op at WABC, thank you very much, asked me to play what WABC had been playing all week long, and here it is.
This is Curtis Sliwa. I thought I had gotten rid of that Looney Kazooney from Parts Unknown, but my personal nightmare is back in So Maniacs. Art Bell returns tonight at 1 o'clock on WABC. Say it ain't so, Promise Keeper Program Director Phil Bush. Say it ain't so.
That was actually, I think, I'm not sure if that was my laugh or if that was a Program Director Promise Keeper himself type Program Director Phil. Anyway, that must have killed him. All week long. All right, let's look briefly at the world. It's rarely worth doing, but we should. Oh, by the way, Yankees lost, but you know that, right? And Marlins won. 3-2, I heard. Huh? In a new audio tape aired Saturday, a voice purported to be Osama bin Laden vowed suicide attacks inside and outside the United States and threatened nations that are helping the American occupation of Iraq. The speaker in the tape, broadcast throughout the Arab world by good old Al Jazeera television, also warned Iraqis against cooperating with U.S. forces and urged youth in neighboring nations to join a jihad or holy war against the Americans. And from Bangkok, in a tense visit, President Bush sped through Manila streets crowded with flag-waving supporters and angry protesters on Saturday, and pledged to help the beleaguered Philippines battle rising terrorism there. He then brought the promise of closer military ties to Thailand. He said, quote, "We will not be intimidated by the terrorists." And that brings up a subject that's probably going to get me in trouble. But by the time you get to be my age and at this stage in my career, you tend to say, the hell with it, and let's rock and roll anyway. So here it is. This is an example of one of hundreds of emails that I've received, and something you probably are not aware of. Hello. My husband and I have been avid listeners to your show since it first came on in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, a few years ago. The CFRA 580 AM link is still on your affiliates list. The show has been on a while, and we were informed today on the CFRA website by Program Director Dave Mitchell that it is gone forever, because of some statements that were of concern to Canada broadcast standards. I guess somebody didn't like the fact that the Muslims or other identifiable groups, that's in quotes, were mentioned on various shows. What babies? Try being Celtic and blonde. This is outrageous. Our freedoms in Canada are slowly being taken from us, and we, the public, can do nothing about it. If people don't like the program, they can turn it off. But we are now forbidden from even turning it on. We are extremely disappointed with the whole situation. We've always been very entertained and informed by the show. Thanks to you both, meaning I guess myself and George, for all the wonderful shows over the years. All the best. Lynn and Dave Thompson, Ottawa, Canada. Sure enough, we've been removed in Ottawa, Canada. Why? Well, on 9/11, thousands of Americans died. You remember that, right? When terrorists plowed airplanes into the World Trade Center buildings in New York City, into the Pentagon, almost damn near into the White House. Thousands of Americans died when they did that. So, yes, we did shows on the subject, and no doubt will again, too. Yes, we discussed Muslims, to be sure. It was the subject. But we were very careful, very, very careful to delineate between the fanatic terrorists that killed thousands of Americans and the religion itself. Very careful. I don't know how many times during that program I said, now look, I want to be sure that everybody understands that we're not talking about all Muslims. Obviously, we're talking about those that blew up these buildings. Right? Well, obviously it was not enough for CFRA in Ottawa, who apparently received some complaints from, we really don't know who, some group. So they dropped our show. Not because of bad ratings, to be sure. Our ratings were great there. Great. But instead because some local group bitched. What kind of insane, upside-down world are we living in anyway? CFRA in Ottawa is a talk station, right? I wonder what they talk about. If Coast to Coast, this program, is too controversial for CFRA, then what the hell do they talk about? I'm serious, what do they talk about? Of any substance? Is it just pablum, or do they really take on issues? You know, I mean, what would they have us do? Never mention the subject so as never to upset some unidentifiable or even some identifiable group? Read the explanation. You can go to their website. Go to Google and put in CFRA. And they've got an explanation there to Coast listeners why it's not on the air anymore. You read it for yourself. Some identifiable group. That we talked about. Some identifiable group. Perhaps the CFRA would have us give terrorists equal time. I can't figure this out. Now, I rarely ask my audience to do anything. But in this particular case, I am going to ask you, all of you, to contact CFRA. I told you, you can go to Google and just put in CFRA and you'll get there. And let them know how you feel. Not that I think, even if every one of you complain and bitch, that they'll put Coast to Coast back on the air, because I doubt that. I don't expect that at all. But instead, because this kind of insanity has got to end. You know, we'll continue. We have over 500 affiliates. Hell, we've, you know, one affiliate here or there. We'll survive, believe me. But, you know, this kind of thing has got to end. This insanity has got to end. Or the free world ain't going to be so free for us or our children. Right now, we're fighting. Agree or disagree about it. Baby, we're fighting. Our men, our women are fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're dying all over the world. But what good does it do if we lose what we're trying to protect? Our freedoms here at home. Specifically, the freedom of speech, not by chance, the first inscribed amendment to our Constitution here in America, and I'm very sure highly cherished in Canada as well, so we lost a station, but the real loss looms straight ahead of all of us. As you gaze into the abyss, it gazes back at you. Believe me, something much more important lost than any radio station anywhere. That's what we're looking at when you cannot discuss something in general and a situation that killed thousands of your countrymen. Without somebody somewhere having some kind of objection that gets you taken off the air. It's the damnedest world we live in, isn't it? So as I said, you can go to Google if you feel as I do about that. You know, I wasn't even going to, number one, I wasn't going to mention this. Then number two, I put it at the end of the pile, you know, like, well, if I get to it, I get to it. And then the more I thought about it, the more angry I got about the whole thing. And then it finally made it up to the front of the pile. So there you have it. You can find, CFRA? Am I right about that? Yeah, CFRA, listed in Google. And, you know, let them have a hunk of your mind. I take us off if we do something wrong. Take us off if we have bad ratings. Take us off if we're not entertaining. But my God. To take us off for that reason. Yikes. So what was it our president said earlier today in the Philippines? Quote, we will not be intimidated by terrorists. End quote. All right, so I've got a ghost photograph on the website that I really want you to see. I handle, hundreds, even thousands of ghost photographs over the years. I've seen many, not too many good ones, a few good ones. This definitely qualifies in that category. This, this ghost photograph is quite something. It's right on the front page. You can't miss it. Click it to make it bigger and follow along with the man who sent it to us. Here he is. His name is Blake. Blake, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hi there. I really appreciate your sending the photograph to me. That's number one.
Well, it's truly an honor to talk to you also.
Thank you. Now, tell me about this photograph.
Well, this photograph was given to me by a couple of friends of mine. They have a relative, an elderly lady. She's in her 80s. She gets around, essentially.
So, in other words, it came from the from a family member?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good.
Yes. It's a physical photograph. It's not a digital image or anything. She's in her 80s. She gets around using a walker. She lives alone. Had always told the family, you know, hey, I've got these ghosts walking around in my backyard.
Really?
Now, she said that this was, to give you a little background, she had a son that passed away about 2 years ago from cancer. And she has said that this is her son and an angel. This is what she's saying. She can at some time see two of them walking around in her backyard.
You know, that's interesting because looking at it, I would have guessed the female gender.
Mm-hmm.
I just would have guessed. I don't know, maybe the clothing, what you can see of it. I'm not really sure what it is.
Right.
The apparition, by the way, for those of you who cannot see the page, is incredible. It's caught in a window, and it's about three quarters here, and about one quarter somewhere else.
Right.
I guess that's the right way to put it. At any rate, continue, please, Blake.
Yes, well, she says that they walk out of the woods, walk around in their backyard for a few minutes. They can stand there, as this one apparently is doing, and then eventually just walk back into the woods and disappear. Behind her house, there are a couple of houses across a field behind her house, and there's just basically woods back there.
She had seen so many, I understand, that she threatened to try to do exactly what's been done here, to take photographs.
Right, exactly.
So was she the one who took this?
Yes, she is. No, she had her camera sitting there for the next time it happened.
Huh.
She actually took the photograph. I haven't actually been in the house. I've been in the backyard, but I haven't been in the house. It's a newer house, actually.
Really?
Somebody had said, well, this could be, you know, the glass, you know, causing a ripple effect. And it's, like I said, brand new house, new glass.
Well, anything's possible.
That's true. Yes, exactly.
But
the family in the family.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. The family had gone into the house. They went through, looked at everything that could even cause a reflection of anything in the window and found nothing.
Mm-hmm.
From the angle that the actual apparition is, it would have to be something hanging from the ceiling, possibly, to actually show up in the picture like that. And, again, they went over the house and found nothing.
No, that's I say it's a human being. It looks like a being, a human being.
Right.
So I don't know about that.
Essentially, it could be, you know, it looks like a full-body apparition.
That's right. But as I mentioned a moment ago, it's not exactly fully there, is it? It's like two-thirds there.
Right. You can actually see through it. It's just walking around in the backyard like, you know.
Makes you wonder a little bit, Blake, doesn't it, about what happens after you leave this material world. Blake, hold on, all right?
All right, thank you.
We're at the bottom of the hour. Blake is with the affiliated with the Alabama Foundation for Paranormal Research, and this really is a good photograph, right up there in the top 10 of any ghost photograph I've ever received. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Well, I'm informed by Steve, fast blasted from Luzerne, California, that's wrong. He did write about that, but actually it was Rich in Chicopee, Massachusetts. Hey, Art, I think you killed the CFRA website. Well, I hope not. I think. But listen, keep trying over the weekend, and then, barring that, you might want to give them a ring on Monday. I know it's a long way to call Ottawa. You nevertheless might want to give them a ring on Monday and have a chat with them. We'll get back to Blake, who's affiliated with the Alabama Foundation for Paranormal Research, and just a little more discussion about this photograph that's well worth seeing on the website right now, Coast to Coast AM. It's a ghost photograph that will hit you right in the eye. Click to enlarge and see the larger version. Once again, keep in mind, please, the picture taken that we're discussing on the website was taken by an elderly lady in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. She had always told her relatives there were ghosts in her backyard. They simply come out of the woods, walk around, and eventually disappear. Seeing that no one really believed her, she decided to take photographs the next time they came around. This is an 80-year-old lady, right? 80-year-old lady. This picture, I understand, was scanned in from a physical picture, not a digital. There have been no attempts to change or enhance the image other than the close-up of the actual apparition. Yes, you can click on and get a close-up, and it'll just knock you right in the eye. So is there anything else, Blake, that we should know about this photograph?
It's kind of interesting that this picture was actually taken in the evening. It's still daylight outside, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't see them at night. She only sees them during the day usually, which I kind of found that interesting in itself.
Well, the whole thing is interesting. And what does your Alabama Foundation for Paranormal Research, what do you do with something like this other than send it to Art Bell?
Right. Probably what we're actually going to probably investigate this probably within the next couple of weeks. I think the next step and probably is going to be setting out motion-activated cameras.
Oh, so you're going to investigate the site.
Yes, exactly.
Ah, well, in that case, Blake, after you do so, I hope you will immediately contact me, and I will put you on the air, assuming I'm still on the air, and I will allow you to tell us what happened.
Ah, yes, exactly.
All right, you're on, buddy. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
All right.
All right, a few more things that I want to get covered. That was Blake. That's one heck of a photograph, folks. I want to talk for a second again about the power of 10. It, you know, there are a few things in this life that just lay you back and you go, huh, like that. The power of 10 is one of those. And to be specific this time, the link when you open it, it's on the website, power of 10, opens with a picture of Earth from 10 million light years away. Now, of course, at 10 million light years, you can't even begin to see our sun, much less the Earth, but it nevertheless begins there, and like the movie Contact, this time zooms in toward the Earth until it finally gets there, and then zooms in by a factor of 10 each time, coming through the satellite photographs and all the rest of it, until you get down to the quark in an atom. I said an atom earlier, actually, into the theoretical. I don't think we've actually photographed a quark yet. But the mental trip that you'll go through with this power of 10 is just incredible. So it's something you're going to want to do if you've never, even if you have done it before, go do it again and just sort of let your mind grasp the implications of what you're seeing. Keeping in mind that a light year, a single light year, is the time it would take to travel at the speed of light in 1 year. Speed of light in 1 year. So we begin 10 million light years from Earth. This is very interesting. Michael Perich, that's P-E-R-I-C-H, an LSU professor who helped fight the spread of West Nile virus, died Saturday morning in a one-vehicle car accident. He was 46 years of age. Walker Police Chief Elton Burns said Sunday that Perich of, and it gives his address here in Baton Rouge, I'm not going to give the address, crashed his Ford pickup truck at 4:30 a.m. Saturday while heading west on Interstate 12 in Livingston Parish down there in Louisiana. His truck veered right off the highway about 3 miles east of Walker, flipped and landed in rainwater. Perich, who was wearing his seatbelt, drowned, cause of the crash under investigation. Perich, who worked for the U.S. Army for more than 15 years, joined the LSU faculty in August of 2001 as an assistant professor of medical entomology. In addition to West Nile, Perich also studied malaria and several other diseases. According to the head of LSU's department, he was one of our stars. He was well known. While I was here, I certainly got to know the depth and breadth of his character and talent. In other words, he was a real star in those types of studies. And I, you know, I'm not saying that his death is anything but what it appears to be an accident. However, anybody out there counting, how many researchers into the biological field does this make who have met with untimely deaths? Individually, none of these apparent terrible tragedies and accidents appear to be suspicious. But, you know, collectively, it's beginning to get to be very suspicious, in my opinion. Oh, here's one you're going to like. North Korea to display nuclear force. Seoul, North Korea said on Thursday of this last week it would physically display its nuclear deterrent force. This is a report from South Korea's Yonhap News Agency. The remarks by unnamed spokesperson of the North Korea Foreign Ministry could be an indication that the communist regime intends to test a nuclear bomb. Oh, wonderful. Maybe Ed Dames was right. When the time comes, the DPRK will take steps to physically display its nuclear deterrent force. That's a North Korean spokesperson. Now, what do you suppose they mean by that? DPRK stands for North Korea's official name, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. For weeks, North Korea said that it was building up its nuclear deterrent force. Nuclear deterrent force, in quotes, a term that the North uses to refer to its nuclear weapons program. U.S. intelligence officials believe that North Korea already has one or two nuclear bombs and may be building more right now. On Thursday, KCNA quoted the North Korean spokesperson as saying his country has no other option but to continue to take steps to keep and increase its nuclear deterrent force as a self-defense measure because of what it calls U.S. plans to invade. The nuclear dispute flared last October when U.S. officials said North Korea admitted running a secret nuclear weapons program in violation of international agreements. So, you know, this adds up to, if you believe it, and the North Koreans talk a lot of trash, to be sure, but they're also working on nuclear bombs, to be sure. So they may be about, you know, to test one, and maybe in our atmosphere. From unknowncountry.com, a man exploring a crop circle in Iowa discovered that a dog refused to go inside it. Unusual levels of electrical activity have often been reported inside crop circles, and dogs may be more sensitive to it than humans. It's recently been discovered dogs are sensitive to impending earthquakes, for example. 12 years ago, Jim Hodges received a strange phone call, he says. It was a sheriff calling me to tell me there'd been a report of a crop circle near Bluegrass. I drove out there, went up to the silo with the farmer, and boy, there it was, a beautiful circle in a mature cornfield. A woman driving home from a nearby tavern reported seeing red lights coming from the cornfield. I'd sure like to know how many think that lady may have had a few. He says, from the beginning I thought it was strange that the dog from that farm wouldn't go anywhere near the crop circle with me. Wouldn't go near it. I looked on my hands and knees for any sign of humans, found none. To this day, he says, I cannot tell you what created that crop circle. I was the first person to my knowledge to be in that thing. I spent the day photographing every inch of it. He flew over it in a helicopter, took pictures, got back several hours later, found a group of people waiting for him on the edge of the field. I don't know how they heard about it, he said, but they waved a wand over me and asked if I felt any odd electricity. He says, I didn't, but apparently the dog did. Barbike writes that for Hodges, the most puzzling thing about the crop circle was that it was somehow created in a mature cornfield. He can't imagine who or what could do such a thing. From mature corn stalks, he said, you've got to understand about corn stalks. You can't break those down by swinging a brick, he said. You can pull yourself off the ground by one of those corn stalks. People naturally claimed it was fake, but I sure never could figure out how. Nobody could. Nobody ever has. Nobody's ever been caught making a crop circle. It remains one of the most elusive, strange, inexplicable things that happens on our Earth. Melting ice glaciers. Here we go again. In the Patagonian ice fields of southern Argentina and Chile has doubled in recent years, caused by higher temperatures, lower snowfall, and more breaking up of icebergs. Using satellites from the National Aeronautics and Space Administration and the Defense Department, researchers measured the loss from two ice fields on the southern tip of South America, found that the rate of melting doubled, from 1995 to the year 2000. That's 5 years, folks, when compared with any earlier measurements. This whole thing was reported in the journal Science on Friday, yesterday. The two ice fields cover a total of 6,600 square miles, contain 63 glaciers. Some dump their water into the ocean, others flow into high lakes. Researchers estimated that the glaciers are losing the equivalent of 10 cubic miles of ice every year now. This is enough to annually raise the world's sea level by all of 4/1,000ths of an inch. Doesn't seem like much, does it? But it means that the mountain glaciers in Patagonia are contributing an unusually large amount of water to the sea when compared, for example, with much larger ice fields. Alaska, for example, has 5 times more ice than Patagonia, yet the melt-off from Patagonia is about a third as much as the melt-off from Alaska's mountain glaciers, and they are going very, very quickly. My wife and I were in Alaska, and believe me, these things are retreating at an alarming rate, absolutely an alarming rate. The world's weather, beyond any question, any doubt in my mind, is changing. And I wish that people would stop arguing about whether it's the hand of man or whether it's some great cyclical change that's occurring. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, it is changing. And places where we grow things that are very productive now are going to change. They're not necessarily going to go away, but they're going to change. They're going to move north or perhaps under some other condition to the south. But they are going to change. This much change in our weather is going to produce a change in the yield of our crops. And we're going to have to wake up to that before it is too late. This from the Los Angeles Times. When the volcano blew here, referring now to Yellowstone National Park, it obliterated a mountain range, felled herds of prehistoric camels hundreds of miles away, and left a smoking hole in the ground the size of the Los Angeles Basin. Modern Yellowstone doesn't dwell on its cataclysmic past or its potential for another monster eruption. Rangers tell people to keep their distance from bison and streaming geysers, but there are no signs, aside from nature's own bubbling mud pots and geysers, that visitors are wandering through the caldera of one of the world's largest volcanoes, period. One of the world's largest volcanoes. You're walking on it, baby. This is a geologic park, and not many people know it, said Robert Smith, a geophysicist at the University of Utah, who spent his entire career piecing together the story of the Yellowstone volcano. It's not a bison park, not an elk park. It's a geologic park, he says. New sensors have allowed researchers to confirm a suspicion that Smith has had for a long time now, that the ancient volcano scientists dub the Beast, that's in quotes, the Beast, is a living force. The instruments record a continuing pattern of heaving and bulging and act as an early warning system. Installed without any fanfare and hidden from view, the sensitive devices are an acknowledgement that the past could be prologue, that this seemingly serene plateau could blow so hard that it would make the 1980 Mount St. Helens explosion look like a sneeze. That's from the Los Angeles Times. For you geeks out there, my wife handed me this. She knows I'm in love with this kind of story. Forget Wi-Fi. From Geneva, Switzerland, researchers have more than doubled the world's speed record for internet data transfer. Now, check this out. Scientists at the CERN Particle Physics Laboratory in Switzerland sent the equivalent of a full-length DVD movie in about, how long do you think? A full DVD movie in 7 seconds. Colleagues at the California Institute of Technology received the data. The land record was set October 1st by transferring 1.1 terabytes of data over a 7,000-kilometer link in less than 30 minutes, the team said. The average transfer rate was 5.44 gigabytes per second, which broke the previous record of 2.38 gigabytes, more than 20,000 times faster, excuse me, than a typical home broadband connection. So, 20,000 times faster than the typical home broadband connection. Could that be what lies ahead for all of us? Well, maybe not that, but some even fairly healthy portion of that. Can you imagine that? How is that going to change our world, the ability to move data at that speed? Perhaps download a movie. They did it, what, in 7 seconds or something. But if we even had a portion of that, and it took, say, 1 minute to download an entire feature film, this will change the world. It'll change everything about the world. Data speeds, even a fraction of what they've just done here, will totally change the world we live in. Every aspect of it, just about. The entertainment business, the broadcast industry, just so many things in our world. Our ability to speak with each other, to see each other, to interact with each other, eventually in a three-dimensional way. That's right. In a real-time, three-dimensional way. These are the miracles that lie ahead of us with faster and faster data transfer, faster processor speeds, more computer storage. It's headed eventually, of course, not to the clunky mechanical device we have today known as a hard drive, but it's headed to a very much a more incredible kind of storage. Who knows what? Maybe some kind of bubble memory or something that virtually produces instant access. Processor speeds are going so quickly now. And, storage speed-wise is going to catch up to it. Now, you just have to wonder how long it's going to be before I don't know, before we have a machine that thinks, a machine that identifies itself, a machine that knows that it's alive. Yeah, that's right. Virtually a living thing. From the high desert, this is Coast.
The After Dark Newsletter. Subscribe now by calling toll-free 1-888-727-5505.